So, wonderful just to come and praise, isn't it, and to worship our Lord. I think it's the most beautiful thing ever, just to be able to come and be refreshed in His presence as we come and just sing out to Him. And I pray that heaven will just, you know, heaven's open this afternoon. It's open 24 hours. And we can have a touch from heaven, but it's up to us. You know, we've got to actually say, I want a touch. And Jesus will meet you wherever you are. Let me get this dad joke out of the way. You know, I haven't seen David for a while, and I thought, you know, I've got to have one lined up for him. And I thought, because it was Baptism Sunday today, we would come. Listen very carefully now, David. Ready? I used to be addicted to soap, but now I am clean. But I want to speak this afternoon about something which has been so real in my life. And if you were here this morning, I'm so sorry. I'm going to repeat a lot because I like to back up what I preach with evidence. And I'm blessed and enough to have seen the evidence of God of working in my life and changing me into the man that I am. And I wasn't always a together person, believe you me. But there was a moment in my life when God showed up. And I'm not going to give you the whole story this afternoon because I want to build a little bit on my journey with Jesus, what He's done for me. And I just want to stand here, and I just want to stand and say to you this afternoon, God is the God of restoration. Amen. That God takes that which is nothing and He makes it into something, but not just something, but something beautiful that He molds into His purposes. And I want to remind you this afternoon that God is the restorer. He can take all the little broken pieces of your life, the thousands of them, and slowly put them all together and turn you into a whole beautiful person. That God forgives and He heals and He loves the unlovely. So much so that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to be mocked and scoffed by man, and die in a horrendous way. And He did that. He could have backed out. He's God. But He did that because He took the sin of us, of mankind and womankind, upon His shoulders, that we could have a relationship with God. And that is what we have this afternoon. This is what's action. If none of that happened, there would not be a church. And we would all just be stumbling around in darkness. And just for me personally, that 39 years ago, I was a drug addict and a drug dealer. A man that was broken by childhood. A man who was abused in childhood. A man who didn't know what love was and didn't trust love. Because I always thought love was going to end up in somebody using me or abusing me. And I got to the age of 18 and I got introduced to drugs. And I started with a little bit and then it just started getting out of control. And then the anger started arising in me and I became angry and violent. Then my own mother was petrified of me. My family didn't know what to do with me. And eventually, at the age of 23, I pushed it too hard and I overdosed. But it didn't bother me. I'd partied all night. I used to arrange these parties where you just came, you know, and you just did what you want. And I remember I was just putting out my arm and letting people inject me. I didn't even know what they were putting in me. I was swallowing tablets with bottles of whiskey and vodka. And that's the night where I almost met death. That's the night I overdosed. That's the night where Jesus wasn't even in my mind. That in the years of drug taking, I couldn't believe that there was a God. I refused to believe that there was a God because of all the bad that was in my life and that had happened to me. But that day of the overdose, that night, when I was thrown out of the car onto the pavement outside my parents' home in the rain, and I stumbled to the door and I collapsed at the door and I banged my head, and my dad opened the door and I was convulsing. My eyes were in the back of my head. And that night, my heart was still hard. But yet 4 days later, my mom plucked up the courage to come and say, "Robin, you need help. You need to go to a pastor or something. You need to go and talk to somebody." And the abuse that came out of my mouth to her was shocking and horrendous. I hurt her real bad. That week later, I went to see a pastor. I believe that was a divine appointment. I had absolutely no desire to go there. But I did. For some reason, I got up out of bed and I went there. And he kept saying to me, "Robin, I want you to know that Jesus loves you." And those were the wrong words to say to me, because I didn't want love. I didn't want to be loved. I didn't trust love. And he kept telling me, and then he started expanding on what Jesus' love looked like and what Jesus had done for me. And then he started telling me about the promises of God in the scriptures. And that's not just for me, but that's for every single one of us. And 3 hours later, after arguing with this pastor, I sat on the ground and I started sobbing. Because I said to him, "Pastor, I don't know what this is, what I'm feeling, but I don't know what it is and I don't like it." He said, "It's the love of Jesus you're feeling. And he's calling your name today." And I gave my life to Jesus that day in a sobbing mess on the floor. And it wasn't an easy ride. Those who've been in addiction, you know that draw is so strong to go back. And I sat in that and I kept going back and I kept slipping up. And I thought, I'm messing this up like dramatically with Jesus. That Jesus couldn't want me. That I wasn't worthy of him. Now, the first Sunday I went to church, I walked in, it was an Assembly of God church, about 300, 350 strong. And these people were all, like it was all happening, prophetic, tongues, clapping, singing. And I walked in, I thought, "Oh my gosh. These people are all on drugs too." And I was not going to stick around. So I waited for the last song, but I was eyeing the door. I had my escape route all sorted out. And I was heading for the door, and this woman comes, and she stood right in front of me like, "Are you staying for coffee?" I thought, "Hell no. I want any more than coffee right now. I'm not." And she said, "No, come and have coffee." And I said, "No, no, no." She said, "Well, come have lunch with me." "No, no, no." She was persistent. She wouldn't go away. But you know what? God knew what he was doing right in that moment. That lady said to me, she met me at my worst. She saw me at my worst. She saw me in my disgusting flesh and my anger heart. And she saw me carrying all the pain that I was carrying. And I went and I had lunch with her, not even coffee, and her brother. And she kept saying to me, if you go off, don't go and lie in the street somewhere. Come around to my house and knock on the door," which I did. And she would let me in whatever state I was in, and she would talk to me. She would make me something to drink, and she would just pray with me. There was no judgment, just love. And then as things went on over the years, it turned around a bit. and on my way to do something, I would knock on the door and I'd say, I'm weak and I'm vulnerable. Can I sit here a while? And she would sit and she would sing scripture to me and pray with me and hang out with me, never judge me. And that first time I went to church, little did I know what God was doing. But God, on that first time I went to church, was the time, that first time was the day I met my wife. And 6 years later, when I was set totally free by the Spirit of God, that the chains had totally broken, that I realized that I was worth something, that I was loved, nothing because of me, but because of Jesus Christ, I was able to go to her and to say, I am free, I'm free, and I will love you as well as I know how, and how I don't know, I will love you as Jesus shows me how. And we walk down the aisles and we've had 30, almost 33 years of marriage, of joy and life and love. And 39 years of friendship. And I thought, oh man, I thought like God was really onto something, you know. I thought things were going to come right. And then the bad news started hitting. 1999, I started feeling ill. And I couldn't breathe properly. I was getting pain all over my body. I went to the doctors. I got diagnosed with stage 4B Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. I had 16 tumors from my neck down into my abdomen. And they told me I had 6 months to live. They were talking about a hospice. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? Well, I didn't die, did I? But it was tough. I went through 8 months of chemotherapy, 4 months of severe, heavy radiotherapy. But I refused to declare death over my body. There'd been enough death. And I declared the life of Christ over my body, and we got through prayer and Jesus. And I thought, oh, wow, God's healed me. Yes, yes. You know, you feel on top of the world. And then I started receiving calling on my life, and I started going off to Bible school and things like that, but I started feeling ill again. And a few years later, after being declared in remission, I went to see a doctor because I felt like I was suffocating. I knew in my body, and he said, no, sorry, but you've got stage 4B non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. You've got a tumor in between your chest and your lungs, and it's strangling your pulmonary artery. I went through 5 hours of open chest surgery at St. Bart's Hospital in London. I didn't think I'd get through, but I did with God. It was nothing about me. It was about declaration, about God and what he tells us in his word. That I will not die, but I will live to proclaim the goodness of my God. Amen. And then God took us on the mission field in Africa. What a journey, Janet. What a journey that God could take something weak like me and use me in the ways that he has across the world. Blows my mind. You know what? It's not just for me, it's for you. You see, God showed up. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22 says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Today, these baptisms that are happening is more than a ceremony. Today is not a ritual. It's not a tradition. This is the moment where heaven invades earth. Because every time someone gets baptized in faith, God shows up.
We're not here just to witness people go into and under the water, but we're here this afternoon to witness resurrections. We're here to witness new creations. We're here to witness the power of God in action. And when God shows up, nothing stays the same. Hallelujah. Who's gonna say that with me? I'm getting interactive today, I'm sorry. Who's gonna say it with me? When God shows up, everything changes. I'm not sure that you've convinced me. Come on. When God
shows up, everything changes.
Amen. You see, Luke chapter 3, we know that Jesus, the Son of God, perfect and sinless, he chooses to be baptized. Not because he needed cleansing, but to set the example for us. And when he steps into the water, something powerful happens. These are the things that happen when God shows up. Number one. The heavens opened. Do you get that? The heavens opened. What was closed became open. When God shows up in your life, he begins to open up things that were previously shut. Closed hearts, closed minds, closed futures. Closed destinies. Baptism is the doorway into a new way of life. And the Holy Spirit descended. You see, God doesn't just save you. He fills you. And when the Spirit comes, you receive power. You receive identity. You receive purpose. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And today, as these people come out of the water, we believe the fire of the Spirit will fall upon them afresh. And then the Father spoke, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. That's identity. That's belonging. That's affirmation straight from heaven. And today, God is speaking the same over everyone who's being baptized. He's saying to you, you are mine. That I love you. That I'm pleased with you. That you don't have to strive for approval anymore because you are accepted. You see, we're not celebrating water. But we're celebrating what God is doing inside the lives of these people that are being baptized. Baptism is where chains fall off. Where old lives die. Where dead dreams rise. Where fear breaks. Hallelujah. Where the past stays buried. Are you getting this? Where God shows up and he rewrites stories. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. When God shows up, the guilty are made clean. The broken are made whole. The addicted are made free. The empty are filled. The dead are raised. And if he's doing it for them today, I want to tell you, he can do it for you today as well. Just how he's done it for me and countless of millions of other people across this world. Maybe you've come to watch a friend get baptized today. But deep down, there's something that's stirring in your spirit. Maybe you've drifted, or maybe you've doubted, or maybe you've delayed surrender to Jesus. But the same God who's showing up for them today wants to show up for you too. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." I want you to know today that Jesus is not mad at you. That Jesus is not done with you. That he's still calling you. And all you have to do is to open the door. Because God is here. God is here, right? Yeah, this afternoon. And when God shows up, people are changed. Heaven speaks. The Spirit falls. And lives are made new. I believe God is showing up in some of your lives right now. If you're here and you feel, hey, now's the time I need to give my life to Jesus Christ, then I want to ask you simply, what are you waiting for? That God is here, he has showed up. He's just waiting for you to step in to resurrection life. What will your story be? I want to let you know that God has not finished writing your story. It doesn't matter what you've done. You don't have to prepare yourself to come to him. Just come as you are. Like I did. In the mess of my flesh and the confusion of my mind, I came to him. And he took me. Because he saw what he had spoken into my life from before I had been born. So I'm going to ask you very, very now, and I'm going to do this, I'm sorry, but I just want everybody just to bow their heads now. No, please don't look up and close your eyes. You know that banging on your heart or in your chest that you're feeling right now? That's Jesus knocking. And he's saying, it's time to come home to me. Because I want to do this work in your life, but you need to come and surrender. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sin, that you would not perish, but that you would have life eternal, that you would have hope, and that you would have a future and a purpose, and life abundant. So, no looking around, please. If that's you, if you know in your heart that it's time to give your life to Jesus, I want you to put your hand up quickly and put it down. Can we do that, please? Thank you. All right. Maybe you've been a believer for a while and you're thinking, hang on. I need to draw closer to Jesus. Then I pray that today will be the day where you come and draw closer to him. The Word of God says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And I encourage you to do that this afternoon. And Jesus is here. He's not going to let you go. And ask our baptismal candidates to come forward, please. Do you guys need to change?
Yeah.
Nick, you okay?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Are you going to change?
No, I don't think.
Okay. Paul, are you ready? Okay, Melissa?
No.
Yeah, if you go in there and I'll send the guy.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the jury. Sorry, my bad. I'd like to thank everyone from near and far that made the journey to come and support me in the beginning of a new leg of the journey that is my life. As most of you know, Alan was a great friend of mine and played a large role in the events that have led up to this moment, and I only wish that he could be here to share this day with us. But the wonderful thing is, I have no doubt that he has the best seat in the house. With his help and that of others such as Joe, Dot, Costa, Pete, Robin, Janet, Lucy, Nick, and Omar and Alicia, to name but a few, alongside the lifelong support of a family that cares not for distance, it truly is lovely to see different limbs of my family all coming here together today. And I now wish to say with great confidence and certainty that in a sea of poor choices, you were all part of perhaps the best decisions I've ever made in my life. And it is with this euphoric warmth that I thank you all and ask you to bear witness as I ask to be forgiven of my sins and to invite the Lord to come fully into my life and soul. Please cleanse me of all the burdens and please continue to fill my life with the security of your love and forgiveness and to watch over all my family near and far. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I just want to say...
It's my first time doing this. I've got all my family with me, and the one who's really helping me out in this family is Julia, David, Peter, and Rebecca, and especially one of my special friends I really like is Robin and Janet.
Everybody, I never thought I'd be standing here doing this today. I finally come home to Jesus and everything. When I first came here, I only went to churches for free meals, and all these people around me have opened my eyes to Jesus, and I've been able to forgive and get over the trauma of you and move on with my life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, Paul. Hallelujah. Come on.
Yeah, the reason I'm doing this today, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I was baptized, but the Bible says repent and believe and be baptized. Well, I believed and was baptized, and I've been on a journey of repentance ever since. So I just want to give myself unreservedly to Jesus Yeah, I suppose, and to be united in the death of the cross, and to do it properly after all these years. Amen. Okay.
Lorraine, you want to say anything?
Hello. Just to say that this is my second water birth. My first one was when I was a baby, so I don't remember. But now I think it's time to be re-baptized. So here we are.
Hallelujah.
Yay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Or is that everybody? I wonder if the pastor's been baptized.